Today we're going to address a subject that should be on a lot of minds. I considered entitling this sermon, Deja Vu. However, I think it would be better to use a little bit of a spin-off from last weekend's elders' meetings that carried with the title of one lecture, the addition of an original title that I'd used in a previous elders' meeting for the first lecture series back in March. And I just used the same title and called it Phase 2. So today we're going to have Phase 2. This was added to emphasize the fact that we've been down this road before, somewhat, but with very little experience, or actually no experience, since the vast majority of elders in this particular case, when we were talking about it, were new to all that was going on. So again, that's why we called a particular lecture Phase 2. Today, we're addressing a subject that was largely covered back around the same time period. It was at the same time period, back in March. And God has used the revelation of the 50th truth to teach us much and to help us mature more spiritually. And there has been a lot of maturity that's come along, a lot of opportunity to see things in ourselves that if it hadn't been for that process, we wouldn't have seen it. We wouldn't have realized some of the incredible lessons that can come right back on us as exactly what happened to the Church of God once things began back in 1994 and before, of the things that can happen to us as well. And so it was a good wake-up for everyone to be able to address something. Anyway, going on here, we are in a new phase of God's final work and countdown, and it is the second phase of what was given in the first sermon back in March, this time being the actual timing of the truth of Jesus Christ's actual return on Pentecost of 2012. So today, 3 more weeks, Phase 2. We had a sermon entitled 3 more weeks back then. It's actually 3 more weeks in one day. We understand what this is referring to. So again, it's a little bit of deja vu in that respect, but with maturity, with more understanding now, and a different spirit totally this time around. And I'm excited about that. I truly am. Today we're going to look at the subject of the final 1290 days that God spoke of through Daniel concerning this end time. A lot of people are new since back in March. Some of you have gone back, obviously, to listen to some of those sermons. But it's good today because God's granted a little bit more maturity, a little bit more understanding. But we're going to go back and look at part of that sermon and another one as well and combine it together. And so again here, 3 more weeks, Phase 2. We're going to address this in a little bit different manner today, yet reviewing a few of the same things in that original sermon back in March. Indeed, most everyone should know exactly what I'm speaking of when I mention that we have 3 more weeks. We know that we have 3 more weeks plus one day until the first trumpet of the seventh seal is blown. In other words, the beginning of the 1260 days. However, today is far more unique than on the day of that first sermon back in March. Because today, I really am glad, I'm happy to say that now we are not filled with the kind of anxiety we had back then. We truly aren't as a group of people, as a body. We don't have the same kind of anxiety that we had back in March and April overall as we had the first time around. We're not nearly as apprehensive as the first time. We have matured more and we've grown more spiritually so that we're able to address this in a much better way. I'm far more at peace now than I was back then. And I feel like the body is as well by the fruit of things I've seen in people's lives and the response of people. So now we're able to address this as a simple matter of reality and faith. No matter what happens or when. I hope you feel that way. I feel that way. I'm far more content, far more at peace, far more at ease than I was back then, truly. That was a very difficult time for us to go through, not knowing what was coming, and we still don't know what's coming. But we have a greater peace, by far, than we had back then. So it's just a matter that we are now confident And we have a peace knowing that God will give us what we need when we need it. I hope you have that. Ask God to help you to have that if you don't have that, truly. Ask Him to help you to have that kind of peace and that kind of confidence that only God can give. And whatever happens then, when it happens, so be it. That's the way we have to live our lives. So let's turn over to the only area of Scripture that actually speaks of the uniqueness of three distinct periods of time that are fully associated with the countdown of the end time. It'd be good for us to review this, and for those who are new since that time period, to go through this again. To do this, I'll also be reviewing some of what God gave in the first phase of all this when we believed that the 144,000 had been sealed back in February. That's when it all began. But later learned what was actually to be the Feast of Trumpets this past year in September, or this year. I think it's also interesting to note that God revealed the truth of these verses in that sermon, and most of it on that very day. It's amazing how God works. Going back to talking about some of those things about the 144,000 back in February, and also some of those things concerning the 1,290 back in March. So let's go back over here to Daniel chapter 12 and notice some of these verses. Again, as a review of what we've already covered in times past, with a little bit more understanding, a little bit more maturity today. And I hope a lot more peace. It's amazing to me how often when you go back through these things, go back through Daniel 12, how it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. But that's a process we've had to grow through. Not go through, grow through. Daniel 12 and verse 5. It says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other side, the bank of the river. And said to the man clothed in linen, who was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand into heaven, and swore by him that lives forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half." And we all understand, and maybe some of those who are new don't fully understand it all yet, but this is spoken of in different ways. Time, times and a half, or 1260 days, or 3.5 years. It's all speaking of the same period of time. "And when he shall have accomplished," and we understand that word to mean to have completed, to have finished, to scatter, and that word means to break or to disperse the power, and sometimes that's used as the word hand, having to do with power of the holy people. "All these things shall be finished." All these things shall be finished. This is written very much like the book of Revelation in the sense that you'll find something written in a period of time, maybe even a whole chapter in Revelation. And then all of a sudden, it'll back up in time and it'll take you through the whole process. It'll jump ahead, it'll tell you what's taking place, and then it'll go back in and fill in the pieces. I think of Leviticus 16 when we go back through and talk about atonement. To me, exciting scriptures every time I go through them. When it goes through and breaks out the two goats, the two type of goats, and all the process that the high priest went through on the Day of Atonement and what those things mean. And then it tells in the very beginning some of the things taking place. And then it spends more time after that, going back from the very beginning to the end, giving greater explanation and expounding upon it. And that's exactly what is happening here as Daniel is receiving this revelation and writing these things. And so as God is giving this to Daniel, he's going back through this period of time and he's thrust up to the very end. That's what he wants to know. That's what people have always wanted to know. When are all these things that he talked about before in writing in the book of Revelation, and the great image, and the stone that comes out of heaven and smashes into the feet of the image and breaks it, you know, in pieces, all the kingdoms of the earth, finally God's kingdom coming, and all the things that that has to do with. And then when it's all said and done, all these prophecies given to Daniel, he wants to know, how long? And so it's not in his time, so God takes him all the way to the end. Says, going to take place at the end over a period of time, times and a half a time, 1260 days. Incredible. I think of all the life of Mr. Armstrong, and even before that, but obviously wasn't around. But you know, you think of all the time period that he was working with the Philadelphia era, and the things he learned, the things he went through, to bring us up to another period of time when he died, to Laodicea, and what we've been going through since that time. And the question has been always on this people's minds, looking forward to this period of time. It was with Daniel. It has been with all the prophets. They've wanted to know throughout time. When Jesus Christ came, those that were hearing, they thought, this is that time. And they didn't know what it was all about back then, because God continues to add more and more and has through time as far as what is written in the Bible. And so, always a desire. And you think of all that desire all these people have always had, whether it be the prophets or whether it be the disciples who later went on to write so much that we obviously have in the New Testament here. All of them wanted to know the same thing, but it wasn't for their time. And to think that finally, this is where we are. It really goes beyond understanding. It's kind of surreal to us. And we're living through it. That's why if we could only grasp how great a time this is, the greatest time in all Earth's history, and God has so looked forward to this, it's hard to grasp and comprehend. He gives up of his Spirit and helps us to understand that in part. And as we grow and grow spiritually, we sense that even more so. It grows within us. That sense that he has, that great desire to see all this come about and be fulfilled. And so is Daniel's desire to know. It's our desire to know. And so it's talking about the very things that took place. Something that happened to God's church. Something that had to happen. A scattering of power that had been given to the church. And a time when it comes to a point when there's no more scattering. It's done. What was to be accomplished that led to this point in time? It's all been done. It's all been fulfilled. And then the end is here. And we go through it. Powerful what's being said here to Daniel. So everything will be finished in a specific period of time. It will all be accomplished, fulfilled, completed in or during a time, times and a half a time. But again, here it states that something must first be completed concerning God's people who have been called and baptized. They were to go through a specific period of time that would be fully accomplished or finished, something to be finished that had been started. And that's what God's getting ready to explain to Daniel here in terms that weren't to be revealed until this very time, until this end time, frankly, until this year even. And so it would be accomplished by a scattering or dispersing of the power of God's people, the church, and what took place, and God no longer dwelling in the church, and then slowly bringing back a remnant of people he worked through. And then when everything finally came up to a specific moment in time that we're talking about here today. So again, we know that this is speaking of the scattering of the church that began in earnest when the first seal was opened back in December 17th, 1994, and the apostasy of the man of sin. This is everything to do with that. What we're getting ready to go through, this is when it started, and this prophecy reveals exactly the day that this ends. The scattering. No purpose for it anymore. The work is completed that was being done in it, that was being accomplished in it. An apostasy that would fully diminish and strip away all power of those scattered. Again, not speaking of the remnant, because that's something that God was going to draw back and continue a work in. So let's continue on here in Daniel. Daniel 12 and verse 8. And I heard, but I didn't understand. It wasn't given to him to understand. Everybody who's ever read this, every time you've ever read this in times past, in years gone by, how often have you gone back to Daniel? I've gone back there a lot. I've tried to figure things out. I've tried to put it on paper. I've looked at days, 1260, 1335, 1290, inside and out. Some of you like numbers and some of you don't, so you don't bother with those kinds of things. I tend to bother with them. Didn't do a bit of good. Because God just has to give it his time. He has to reveal it when it's his time. And so Daniel just said what we've all had to say before. You know, I read it, I didn't understand. And I heard, but I didn't understand. Then I said, Oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Again, just coming right back. And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. You know, that's a hard process to go through. The process of being purified, of being cleansed, of being made white that God takes us through to clothe us in the expressions that are used throughout the book of Revelation of those who have white remained, the 144,000, and tried, the trying that is hard, that gets so deep down inside of us of things we have to see and deal with that God doesn't leave covered. The trials, the fire that we have to go through in order to see things that hurt, just like this past weekend. You know, the pressure cooker of 8 months of experience that some have been going through to learn how to better serve God's people. Some things that ministers in the past have never learned that individuals were able to go through and see more deeply over a period of 8 months and bring it all together finally in lectures this past week. If we can understand and grasp the depth of what God has given to us. See, you understand that in a profound way, those of you who have been around for a long time. You've seen something at God's church that has never happened before. That has never existed, ever, in God's church to the degree of what we've been witnessing. We've been witnessing it. God giving so powerfully, so quickly, so much knowledge and insight to so many people. So quickly. And yet we learn, we understand that the experience takes time. But the knowledge and the speed of it all is astounding. It truly is. It really is astounding. I hope we understand God's church has never, 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 never experienced this like what we've been going through. Never has. We're able to, if we're not careful, kind of take it for granted. If we're not careful, it'll pass us by in our thinking and our understanding of what God is doing and the power to accomplish that. Because we're living it. So often when we live something, we don't see how powerful it is. We don't recognize how great it is. And yet by those of us who especially been around a long time, God wants us to drink that in. He wants us to grasp and comprehend that this is an awesome thing that He's doing. Mr. Armstrong used to talk about growing at the rate of 30% a year. Well, we've grown over 300%. Is that small? That's incredible to take place. And yet I know, and I hope you know, and I believe that you do, that that's nothing. That's absolutely nothing is what we're going to experience in this following year. It's going to be way over 3,000%. Way beyond that in 1 year's time. Because of where we are and because of what God is doing. We're at the end time. It's God's purpose now to begin opening up the minds of thousands and tens of thousands of people to begin drawing them. That's awesome to understand that we get to experience that. And so we have a little bit of taste at the beginning here. And a lot of this has been to help us prepare for and be ready for what's coming. So we can, to some sort of degree, deal with some of it anyway and work with it throughout a period of time. I'm excited. I truly am. To think that the world is going to be so bogged down with everything that's so bad over 3.5 years, and it's going to be horribly bad. The things they're going to see, the things that people are going to experience, the things they're going to struggle through. And yet God's church, they're going to see the same things, but they're going to have a different mindset. And people who come in contact with you are going to know you're different. Because you're not thinking the same way as others. Because you know the truth. And you're going to have a boldness and a confidence and even an excitement about what you're going through. Because the worst it gets out there, what does that mean to us? The more who repent. The more who are finally humbled. The more who finally listen and receive God. Truly. I marvel at that. that it takes so many trumpets to humble mankind. And then the vast majority still aren't humbled. And so they die. And they simply await another time. Death is nothing to God. He gives life again. 1,000 years from now, it means nothing to God. It's just a period of time. To us, the way we think, that's not nothing. You know, but it is. And he just resurrects them again and begins to work with them. In a good time. In an exciting time. When the earth has been totally changed. When society is totally changed by that time. In ways we can't even begin to grasp and comprehend. Powerful, powerful, powerful what God is doing. It truly is. And so he told him again, Daniel, just go your way, Daniel. All this is sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. It's not easy. It was never meant to be easy. Because it's by going through what is hard that we can develop character when God's Spirit works with us. Holy, righteous character. And so the context, what is the context of all this? Fully about the 144,000. It's all about the 144,000 right here. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. It's not about the 1,000 years. It's not about the 100 years. It's about 6,000 years of time and 144,000 who God has been working with, has worked with, to prepare for a new age, a new world, a new government. But the wicked shall do wickedly, just the way of man, the mind of man. They're not going to change unless they're brought to repentance by God at the end here. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So God says, these people are going to understand. When it's time, he's going to give it to us. See? We don't have to be apprehensive. We don't have to be tied up in knots. We don't have to worry about defending ourselves in front of others. We don't have to worry about human pride. On the contrary, we want to fight it and conquer it. See? Truly. And yield ourselves to God. And he'll give us what we need, when we need it. And we just grow in confidence of that. We grow in confidence of that, truly. Daniel 12 and verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And as we talked about back 8 months ago, very, very awkward in English, very awkward in Hebrew. You know, there's so many things in God's plan that you just can't know until it's time. Until God opens up the mind to see it. And especially because of translations, then it's even more fully hidden from the minds of people. And even from his own church. Because it's not there until he gives it. God's people, no matter what time period it is, no matter when the prophets were, or the disciples and the apostles, and as we go through time, have gone through time, or coming up to the very end with Mr. Armstrong, God just didn't give it. So you can read something and try to understand it all you want. You can cry out to God to give it to you. But until it's God's time and God's purpose, you're just not going to have it. Because it's given by the power of His Spirit to the mind. It's an incredible thing to understand. So again, we're going to begin reviewing here some things back in the sermon concerning February the 2nd that had to do with 144,000, as well as some of the things having to do with that sermon given back in March. About 3 more weeks. So the beginning phrase here of the verse here, and from the time, again, a quick review here of some of the things that were said back then with a little bit more understanding now, is very much about a sequence in time. As the word from here in Old Hebrew is so often translated as since. Or even better for this verse, after. After. And so it would read, after the time of the daily is taken away or shall be taken away. So again, stopping here. What is the daily? You know, incredible. How God didn't give this until the time it was to be given. No period of time, no long period of time to digest this. It's just He gave a measure of this several months back. The daily sacrifice. what's referred to as the daily or the daily sacrifice. People have, as far as understanding things written in the Bible, have understood for a long, long time that this is referring to a sacrificial system. But for the church and for God's people, uniquely so. Because it wasn't a matter of something that was done as far as the Old Testament. It had to be something that applied to God's people and how He's working with them. And again, the context here of the 144,000 that goes through this whole period of time here. So, what was it in the temple here when you're talking about the temple to understand what's being discussed here? Because the daily sacrifice was something that was done at the temple. There were sacrifices for sin, for transgression against God, but it never took away sin. So what, in truth, takes away sin? We understand. It's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so how in the world can the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, when it speaks about the daily sacrifice, you know, that's why I encourage people over and over and over again to go before God and repent daily. You know, to repent daily of sins in our life. We as human beings, we sin. And the more we grow, the more we're able to understand the spirit and the mind and sin. Not just the physical outward things, but the very things that enter into the mind that we must combat and fight and ask God to forgive us, you know, and fight the fight. And we have that sacrifice that works in our stead day by day by day. From the moment you're baptized and have hands laid upon you and you go down into that watery grave, from that moment on, God has entered into an incredible covenant with us. That every time we sin, we can go before Him. Not just a one-time thing of burying the self at baptism, but symbolically that which continues on because of Christ and the blood of Christ. That we can have sin forgiven us day after day, a daily sacrifice for self, for each one of us. It's a sacrifice that God, that Jesus Christ did once, always working in our life to take away sin. And the reason for that is so that God will continue to dwell in us. That God the Father and Jesus Christ dwell in us, because if we don't repent of sin and that isn't taken care of, then God won't dwell in us. That's why it's so important to always repent as soon as we see sin and ask God to forgive us and to have that sacrifice in our stead, cleansing us, purifying us, making us white, because that's how we're able to continue to grow and indeed be made white, is through this very process of our Passover and His blood that was shed for us. He just died once for it. But we use it day by day by day, truly as a part of the temple of God, in the temple. So incredible to understand these things. So again, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the daily sacrifice that daily works in our life in order for God to accomplish His continuing work in us. It's awesome. The Levites, they went through a daily process and picturing something that we actually live that has true meaning, that does take away sin. So again, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the daily sacrifice. Powerful to understand that. Again, this is explained more fully in the February 2nd sermon, but let's read it as it is, more correctly, again translated from Hebrew. Verse 11. After the daily sacrifice is taken away, not shall be taken away, but after the daily sacrifice is taken away. That's a true translation here. When can such a thing be? When is it that the daily sacrifice is taken away? It doesn't mean that it's no longer being used, but it's accomplished its purpose. So if we understand what was said earlier here, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the daily sacrifice that daily works in our life in order for God to accomplish His continuing work in us. And again, this is all in context about a specific group of people, 144,000. Incredible. So this is actually explaining that there is a time when the daily sacrifice will have fulfilled its task in the lives of some. That's what it's all about. It'll have accomplished its purpose in the lives of some. Who are they? Again, it's those at the end time that come right up to the end, and God has been working with for 6,000 years. It's about the 144,000, the only ones who could fit into such a picture. And that's exactly what this is all about. So again here, it's incredible to understand that there are those that come to a point in time, just jumping ahead, because they're sealed. When everything has been sealed, when the 144,000 are fully sealed, then that daily sacrifice accomplished its work in them to bring them to that point in time. It doesn't mean that individuals don't continually have to go before God. They do. I have to continually go before God. I'm sealed. But I have to continually go before God. But the work of that sacrifice is complete in my life because God has tried me to that point, just as He did to Abraham when He said, "Now I know you." But it doesn't mean that you don't continue to do. On the contrary, the very fact that you have come to that point in time, the reality is you're going to continue to go before Jesus Christ and God the Father and utilizing that sacrifice in your life. But it has already, in this context of Daniel, it has fulfilled its work in you. That's the point about the sealing. It's already accomplished. There's just a unique time in history that there were a few who were still alive, whatever that number is, 20, 100, I don't know what it is. I don't know how many have been sealed, but the sealing is done. The sealing is complete. Whatever the number is, nobody knows it except God. God knows the number. He knows the number of the whole 144,000. He's the one that's worked with us for people from the very beginning of the 6,000 years to this point in time. Awesome to understand that. That's why he had to give the number in Revelation, because God's the only one that can count it. He's the only one that knows every individual that he's molded and fashioned. But there's that unique group, just like there are a few, which is awesome to understand, that at the return of Jesus Christ, when he comes back, and all of a sudden there are a few, after the majority of 144,000 men resurrected, and right after that, there are going to be a few who are just changed. You know, whenever I say that, I think of Star Trek. You know, and all these little lights, and all of a sudden they're gone. They're someplace else, you know. And in a similar sort of way, in an incredible way, all of a sudden there's a change that takes place in some people's lives at that point in time where they're just no longer physical. They might, I don't know what God's going to do, whether some are still going to see them as physical. I know there are going to be a couple that are still going to be seen as physical for a little while, because they're going to start rising up and people are going to see them go up in the clouds. You know, so they're still going to see something physical, but they are spirit. They're spirit beings. They're members of the God family. Incredible. So there are a few that are going to experience a change when they're physical, and all of a sudden they're spirit. And in a similar matter, as far as the timing is concerned, there have been a few, because of a time period they lived in, at the end of the finishing number of 144,000, that all of a sudden we came to a time when the work of the Passover in their life was fulfilled. That's what it means, fulfilled. It had been accomplished. Doesn't mean it's over. It continues to work in their life, but to accomplish its work, that they are indeed going to be resurrected at a later point in time, it's completed its work, the daily sacrifice at work in their life to bring them to be a part of this body, this number of people. Incredible to understand. So next, in the terms that are being used here, after the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up. The abomination that makes desolate set up. Again, not a good translation. This is about the abomination of desolation that's been working in the church from the time when the first seal was opened. As soon as the first seal was opened, this began to work in the church. And we have known as a whole, as a group here, that the abomination of desolation is about what's been going on, but we haven't understood these verses yet. We haven't understood all that was here until God gave it this year. Incredible to understand. When it's finally His time, He gives it, and we just see it. We're able to understand it. And so it's something that's been working since it started back in December 17th, 1994, and has continued all the way up to a very specific moment in time that God is telling Daniel about here. And then it comes to an end as well. And we've already passed that. We've already passed it. by a week and a day. 8 days into account. Incredible. The words here in the middle of the phrase, that makes, when we read, and the abomination that makes desolate, set up, the words here, that makes, in Hebrew, again, going back to that same sermon that was given, and covering some of the same material here and this one here, is something called call particle active, and is a verbal adjective in the active voice indicating continued simple action. It's just something, it's kind of like when we talk about Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. It's just something that continues on in our life. And here's something that, in the Hebrew, it continues on. So it continued, started back in December 17, 1994, and it's been continuing on to a specific moment in time. And that's how it's being used. So this is something that has continued as an ongoing process since it began. It has not changed. It has been an abomination that is making desolate, or has been making desolate ever since it started. It's been ongoing since it began when the first seal was opened. And so add to this again here, at the end here, add to this the ending words of the phrase, set up. In Hebrew, also means finished or complete. So something that is finished, not set up. It doesn't mean set up, like we read in English. It means it's finished. It's complete. It's done. That's what it means. Powerful. To understand how words are used. And yet, we would, if you tend to read it as it is in the English language, you would think, from the time it was set up, well, that would take us all the way back to December 17th. And that's not the words being used here. It's a word that just means finished, complete. So here is the best translation into English from Hebrew of this entire verse, verse 11. After the daily sacrifice is taken away, accomplished its purpose, for the 144,000, and the abomination that has been making desolate, because it's been ongoing since it started, when the first seal was opened, and the abomination that has been making desolate is finished, is complete. There shall be 1,290 days. Powerful, powerful, powerful what it's saying. And verse 12, God bringing it full circle here. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 or 35th day. It's all tied together. You can't separate it. And for those who like working with numbers, this means that after the 1,335 days that fulfills the time of the daily sacrifice was put away, had accomplished its work in the 144,000, and the time of 45 days later, when the completion of the working of the abomination of desolation, the church comes to an end, then there are 1,290 days yet remaining till the return of Jesus Christ. This also marks the opening of the final seal, the seventh seal. So again here, after the daily sacrifice, I'm going to read it again in case I'm trying to write it all down. After the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination that has been making desolate is finished. So we understand here, something started happening at 1,335 days, but it's coupled together with another important time. It's coupled together with something that's been making desolate in the church, and finally, it's all over with. And now there are 1,290 days left. Beautiful picture when we understand it, of what God's showing. The seventh seal was opened last Friday, meaning that the countdown to the return of Jesus Christ is 1,290 days. Now, again, we are 8 days into that count, which leaves us a day beyond 3 weeks until we come to December 14th, which is the time of the 1,260 days that are remaining. I want to make some other comment here about this period of time, about the abomination of desolation that's been working. That means that something happened in Laodicea, at the very end of Laodicea, that God prophesied long ago. When he, in Jesus Christ, I think of all the things that Jesus Christ had to say, things we have been through, things we have lived through, that started some of the rumblings and some of the things that began before December 17th, but the actual time it actually began was December 17th, 1994. And it continued on until last Friday. You know what that means, in essence? It really means that Laodicea has ended. It really means that Laodicea has come to an end. That its purpose of the scattering has come to an end. God raised up a remnant, and he brought a remnant along out of all of that, in the midst of all that. But the purpose of what Satan has been doing, the purpose of what demons have been doing, it's complete now. It's over with now. We're going into a new phase, a new counting of time. If we understand here when God says that now the seventh seal is opened, it's like the analogy that's used for birth. The birth is beginning. God is starting to do something now that is different than what he's done before. A new phase of time has entered in. We're continuing. I marvel too that last Sabbath ended a series of sermons that we had. And this particular one here is part 3. And it very much focused upon indeed learning the lesson of Laodicea. And it was stated very clearly that the things of Laodicea are also going to be battles throughout the 1,000 years that follow. But God wants us very powerfully to understand that mindset and that battle and to fight against that. And God has revealed over the last 8 months, you've gone through experiences. You have experienced things in the church that has helped you to have that deeply embedded in your being in a greater way than if we hadn't gone through this last 8 months. Until you experience something, you really don't understand it as deeply. You know, there are things I said last week that I understood today as I was going through and listening to it again, that some aren't going to understand it truly in spirit and in truth to its depth until they have some of those experiences in their life. Speaking of even the elders. There are some things in life, until you have experienced it, you don't really know it. You can know knowledge. It's like all the things that so many of you who are new, you're learning so quickly. And these pieces of the puzzle, they're all there. You see them, you believe them, but they're not all together yet in a picture for your life until you've gone through certain experiences, until they're in you, until they're in your being. And the same is true with what we're talking about here in some of this. And so, again here, I marvel at how God leads the church. You know, there are so many things that we go through and have gone through that we look back and we learn from it. We go through it, we look back, and we see what God's been doing. See? It's what God does. And that's one of the major ways God teaches us. Because he's already been doing it. And so you can't deny his spirit. You can't deny what he's already been doing. We talked about some things this past week for the elders of helping us to be able to see and understand what God is doing with the church right now because of so many of the newer people and what's happening in their life. We're able to grow in wisdom in some of that because we already see evidence of some things that can't be denied. This is what God is doing. And so we look at it and we learn from it. It's one of the major ways that God teaches us. It truly is. And I took some of the people back last week, going back, and one of the best examples in the New Testament to show that is how God began to work with, look at it, and all the examples he gave, the experiences he gave. He gave a different experience to Peter, and to Paul, and to James. They were all different in what he was teaching them. And they finally came together in a conference, and they started talking about these in Acts 15, and they learned very powerfully so. Oh, God's Spirit has already been working with the Gentiles. You can't deny that. It's not just about the Jews. It's about all mankind. And that God has been doing something here that we can't deny. And some of them had a bit of a battle with it because it went against the grain of their thinking of what they thought it was supposed to be like and what they thought they had in a special relationship with God. Peter had some battles there. But God showed him very powerfully so. You know, he saw that vision and the cloth descending 3 different times and showing that what God says is clean, you know, don't you call unclean. And so, again here, very powerfully, so God began to reveal things. And so, really, that's one of the primary ways that God's worked with me. It truly is. It's already been happening. And then he reveals what he's doing. He shows it in the mind. This is what I'm doing. And you don't deny God. If God's doing something, you better learn from it. You know, you see the evidence of it when he shows it to you. Be a total fool to resist it and to fight it and to think otherwise. So, same thing with all these truths that God gives. When he gives it, the evidence is there, it's clear, our mind is opened up, we see it, but sometimes we wrestle with it. We sometimes have to deal with things we thought it should be a different way or was a different way. And yet, I marvel at what we went through over the last 8 months that we would not have learned to the depth we have any other way. To understand something that took a long time for part of Philadelphia and the first big section of Laodicea to go through, to come up to a point in time when the seventh seal was finally opened, to learn very powerfully so about the spirit of complacency, of being lukewarm, of falling asleep spiritually, of how long did we live through that before we understood it? How long, for those of you who have been around for some time, did it take us to finally grasp the reality of what it did? It took a while. It wasn't until we were already scattered. It wasn't until then that finally, you know, we were hit up the side of the head and began to be jarred awake to see what had happened. And now you've gone through some experiences in less than 8 months that have driven that point home in a very powerful way that took us years to go through, and we still didn't understand it fully until we came to a point in time where God began to reveal some things about that mindset and that kind of thinking. And so God, at one last time, beautifully so, at the very end, just before it's all over with, before Laodicea finally comes to an end as far as the church era is concerned, we've entered a different era. I hope you understand that. We have entered into a different era of time for God's church. And it's all about all the new people that go beyond the 144,000. It is a new age. It's the beginning of birth of a new age. And it doesn't come easy. It's going to be very difficult and very hard. And finally, when we get through it, everything that remains has the opportunity. Everyone has the opportunity of becoming a part of the church of God in the millennium. That's profound. Never been a time on earth, because there have only been a few called through time. And now we're getting ready to cross over into a different time. But that's already started. Started last Sabbath. Because of scattering, the abomination of desolation that God said would be there. Go back and read Daniel. Go back and read Daniel again later on. Don't need to do it now. And see if that doesn't hit you in a different way now, in a stronger way than before. Exactly what God was telling Daniel. When we've passed that, then it starts. But we have a little bit time, 30 days, 30 minutes, and that's where we are. We're in 30 minutes. God's time, prophetic time. Only one place in the Bible that's ever used, and that's what we're discussing right now. So I hope you're excited about where we are. What happens next? I don't know. But I tell you, I have so much more peace than I had 8 months ago. I was in turmoil. It was hard. It was hard for you, starting back in February and coming up to March. And then getting it to April. And then it really got hard. You know, incredible what God has taken us through, what we lived through, and what we experienced from it to get where we are now. More mature, more deeply convicted, stronger faith than ever before. And the stronger your faith is, you know what? The greater peace you have in your being. Whatever is, so be it. Whenever it is, so be it. We'll be ready. Something that God gives. And if we hadn't gone through these things, we wouldn't be here. It's like every trial we ever go through, wouldn't trade any of them for anything. Because that's what's brought me here to this day. And that's what's brought you here to this day. And it's a powerful thing. It's exciting. It's inspiring. So again, the seventh seal was opened last Friday, meaning that the countdown to the return of Jesus Christ is 1290 days. We're 8 days into that count right now. Which I said leaves us a day beyond 3 weeks when we come to December 14th. which is the timing of the 1260 days that are remaining. Although I addressed this several weeks ago, I think it'd be good to repeat it again here today. I'm referring to a statement on page 23 of 2008, God's Final Witness, and I want to repeat what I stated at that time concerning this quote. But first, the quote. I made the comment, I know the exact day the sixth seal was opened, and the world will be shocked and in horror on the day that the seventh seal is opened. We've had some in the church who have read that literally, physically. It is not literal, physically. It is prophetic. And I think it would be good to go back through some other verses here in a moment, and we will, to explain that again. Just because something is stated in a specific way like this doesn't mean it starts on that day. It is the result of what will take place throughout 3.5 years. God inspired even some things that are written there to be written in a prophetic manner, because it isn't intended that everyone understand everything all along the way until it's God's time. And then when it's God's time, then He'll give more. He'll give greater understanding. He'll help us to understand. He said the wise would understand. We're going to understand first. And then as God draws new people and they come to repentance, they will see it and they will understand it. But the world and all those who resist will never understand it. Not to the very last day, if they're, you know, whoever's alive at that point in time. And then the vast majority of those are going to die on that last day, if you understand, who still resist God. So let's look at where we are. On trumpets, September the 30th, we begin the period of 1335 days. Last Friday, November the 14th, was the opening of the seventh seal, with 1290 days remaining. And on December 14th, we'll be at the 1260 mark, which is the beginning time that God counts out for us, that great tribulation. He's the one that's done the count. He gives it to us. This is when great tribulation begins on the earth. It is also the beginning of the job of two end-time witnesses. Now, just because it's the beginning day for end-time tribulation and God's count doesn't mean that you're going to see several nuclear bombs go off or that you're going to see and understand that day what it is. Because I don't believe you will. And I believe a part of what we addressed back then is still going to take place here, that there are some things about that first trumpet that we're not going to know at the very beginning. And just as I said in times past, you will understand when the second trumpet goes off. But to know exactly what happens on the first trumpet doesn't mean you're going to know it or see it immediately on that day or that week. Please, please, please keep that in your mind, because there are still things that God is working with and He will reveal in His time. I hope for everyone's sake that it's quicker. But that's between each one of us and God. It truly is. It's to what we do and how we do it. Let's go back here to Revelation chapter 6 now. Revelation chapter 6. We walk by faith, and yet we have no comprehension of what's in front of us. You can't imagine it. You cannot imagine it. You have to live it. Revelation 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. A great shaking is what it means. It doesn't mean a literal earthquake in the way that's used throughout scriptures we've talked about in times past. It's a great shaking. And if we understand, which we do, I feel we do in the church, it was a shaking in this world. A shaking that took place that shook up this world. I tell you, you go anywhere in this world, and 9/11. It's embedded in people's minds. Everyone knows what that day is all about. You know, every human being as a whole knows what that day was all about. Powerful. A great shaking that began to set up something that was going to take place later on, which we're almost there. It says, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. You know, people, unless they have God's Spirit, they're not going to understand things like this. They look for literal physical things to happen on a worldwide scale, and there are things going to take place that just don't happen on a worldwide scale right away. We hope we understand that, especially in the first trumpet. And so here it is. God's saying something that, in large part, that's symbolic, but also something that happened in a specific area of this country. And dropping on down here, verse 15, again, we've gone through this many a time here, what the sixth seal is all about. Verse 15, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in dens on the rocks of the mountains. That's prophetic. It's not a literal thing that happened during the sixth seal, even. It's setting the stage for what's to come, just as God did with Daniel back there in the book of Daniel. And he sets the stage, and then he comes back and explains it. And that's exactly what he does here. He sets the stage of something in the sixth seal that pictures what's going to take place when the seventh seal is open and throughout that period of time. It's not something that happens during the sixth seal, just as much as the comment I made in the book. I know the exact day the sixth seal was open. 9/11. We all know that now. And the world will be shocked and in horror on the day that the seventh seal is open. Indeed, it's prophetic. It all begins at that particular day, but it doesn't mean that they're shocked and in horror on that day any more than this means that they went and climbed in the caves and in the rocks and the holes of the ground during the sixth seal here. It's something that will happen progressively throughout 3.5 years. Looking back, we learn a lot. We see what God has done. And then they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That doesn't even happen in full until the very last day, after Jesus Christ appears in the heavens, after the 144,000 are resurrected. And I want to make clear again in the church, because I've said this again, I think some don't fully grasp the timing of this. When we talk about 1,335 days, 1,290 days, and 1,260 days, it comes up to the very return of Jesus Christ. But you have to understand there's a whole day of activity for the last great day, and that day is not part of the count of 1,335. He comes back, he appears in the heavens, the 144,000 are resurrected right after sunset. Right after sunset. It's very similar to what took place when we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to know the exact moment something takes place to know how to count it. See? In just like the 3 days and three nights. We know it didn't go into the first day of the week. He was resurrected just before the first day of the week, at sundown on the Sabbath. Say. And the same type of terminology is used here when we talk about the return of Jesus Christ. The end of the 1,335 days, the end of the 1,290 days, the 1,260 days, it ends on the day that the 144,000 are resurrected, that very moment in time, at the very moment in time Jesus Christ returns. In other words, a very close period of time after sunset in Jerusalem on a specific day. Hope we understand that, because that's where the time is counted from. It's from Jerusalem. It's what takes place in Jerusalem. Two witnesses that are resurrected, still light out in the sky after the sun has already gone down. And everyone else who has died at that point in time, who are part of the 144,000, they all get resurrected right at that time. Still some light in the sky in Jerusalem, but the sun's already gone down because it's a new day. So again here, sometimes it's, and we can get stumble over little things like that, but they're not little things, they're important things, and we should be able to understand them clearly, what they are. Hope you understand what I'm talking about. The specific moment in time when something happens. Because some have wondered, even though it hasn't been said out loud, I believe that it's happened, where some have wondered about that full day, that last incredible day when God does what he does on this earth. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the return of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the great resurrection of 144,000 people happening at a very specific moment in time, at the beginning of a day, not at the end of it. Okay? Anyway. And so they said to the rocks and the mountains, you know, fall on us, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. And so people are going to go through things where everything they have is going to be taken from them. They're not going to acknowledge it as Jesus Christ. And all those who are destroyed even on that last day, they're not going to acknowledge it as Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of them just think they're being invaded because their minds are so far removed from God that they can't. It's easier to believe that it's an invasion from some other world. That's incredible. easier to believe it's an invasion from some other world, because God is so much the possibility that there is a God. It's so far out of their minds that it's easier for them to believe they're being invaded. And they're going to die thinking they were being invaded. Amazing. It says, "For the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?" And that doesn't start until December the 14th. And it ends with a crescendo on the very last day after Jesus Christ has been resurrected, or after Jesus Christ returns, after we've all been resurrected, 144,000. I'll get it right. Chapter 7 and verse 1. "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." Sometimes I wondered about those four, who they were. Duh. It goes on to say, "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea." Those first four angels that have the trumpets that explain later on, that do what they do. But it's about four angels, and they can't do what they do until a specific moment in time. And so they're holding back. They're ready, but they're not allowing anything to happen. And they can't do it until God says, okay. And then they begin to do what they're supposed to do. But an amazing thing here taking place, and it's going to be interesting one day to find out if that's what we went through. Because so many learn from, even in the angelic realm, what God gives to His church. And this angel goes to heaven saying, don't do it yet. Wait. Don't hurt the trees or the sea until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Didn't take place back in February the 2nd. Took place in September the 30th this year. And then 1335 began. Then it talks about, I heard the number, and it's 144,000. Dropping on down to chapter 8. Chapter 8. "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." And so again, a reminder to everyone who heard that sermon back then, but also to those of you who are new. Prophetically, with God, we should understand that this is in the same day and only amounts to a prophetic period, what takes place here. It's in a particular period, a particular day with God. And he talks about a period that he counts as 30 minutes, prophetically, which God has shown us as a matter of 30 days of actual physical time. And again, as I mentioned back then, this is by revelation only, and this is the only verse in Scripture where this is used, a period of time like this, 30 minutes. And that's what it's all about. Because it's when it's all started. And as far as God is concerned, as far as what He's giving to us, and so there's a period of time here until certain things kick into place, the only way to put it. But God holds back for a little while. For us, it's 30 days. And then it all starts. Whatever it is, the end time, the final 3.5 years, the time and a half, the 1260 days, the job of two witnesses, the job of two end time prophets, and whatever starts on that day. And I do not know what starts on that day. Except my job and the job of my wife. I know that it begins at that day. I don't know what we'll see, if we'll see anything at all. And neither do you. So we have to wait and see, just as I wrote in the book. There are certain things we're not going to know about, especially the first four trumpets, until they have already happened. And the second one will be easy. The third one will be relatively easy. The fourth one will be relatively easy. And the fifth one, we know full well what it is. It's Europe. It's Europe coming together and doing what they're going to do. Germany. 9 other nations come together like they're going to at the end time. The things are in front of us. So again here. "And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And then it all begins. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and they were given 7 trumpets. So again, it's given some of the things in a capsule. It's already talked about the first four of these. And then it goes through and explains some things about the 144,000 because that's God's focus. God's focus is about His government. It's about His government's going to return and come with Jesus Christ. And then all the things that begin in order to bring it about. And I marvel that we have to go through so much on this earth. You know, the last 8 months, really a little bit longer than that, but especially the last 8 months, God has shown in a more powerful way to me, and I don't know about you, but what pride is like in human beings out here. How much pride exists out here and how people will not change. They will not repent and how they fight against the truth and how they fight against God. And we're going to see that a little bit more. You're going to become more deeply convicted of that as you go along. Because you would think, especially by the time we come to as powerful as an event as the second trumpet, that surely people would in this country would be, again, repenting massively so. They won't even be wanting to give any kind of recognition whatsoever to what was already written that said it was going to happen. It's going to take them longer. And then the third trumpet. You think, surely, in mass, people in this country would repent. Just like the stock market. It's exactly like the stock market. Their hope, their belief, is that hopefully this isn't too long. Don't take your money out, because at some point, it's going to start up again. It's going to start climbing. That's their hope. That's their hope. That's their life. They're not going to change the way they do things as a whole. Corruption, greed of human beings doesn't change. It just gets pulled back a little bit because they can't do what they really want to do. They won't repent and turn to God. Human nature is really sick. It truly is. And human beings fight. They fight against God. They don't want to change. So we're going to have to go through a lot and see a lot. And that's what chapter 8 here is about, the first four trumpets and the things that take place in people's lives. Verse 7. Well, verse 6, these four angels. But it talks about seven angels, which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. You know, there's a period of time of things that are going on in heaven right now that we don't know about. Everything's getting ready to be put into place. And then certain work begins December the 14th. It's not going to be something that the world recognizes right away. Maybe things that we don't recognize right away because of how this first trumpet is spoken of. And that may be a trial for some, but I don't think it's going to be a trial like it would have been in times past here with some of the things we went through. Because of what we've gone through, hopefully, we have that peace. Hopefully, we have that confidence and boldness in a greater way than what we had 8 months ago. It says, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then it goes on talking about a second angel. And it brings in things that are very, very physical to take place. I say these things in part because there are some things about that first trumpet, brethren, that I have already alluded to in times past that may not be physical at all. And that's going to be hard on some. That's why I hope that the second trumpet isn't too far behind it. Because that's when you'll see physical things. So today we're going to close the sermon at this point, very, very early. And again, perhaps go back through some of these things at another time as some of these things begin to take place. I want to make it real clear today, I have no idea what takes place on the first trumpet. I just know when it's blown, and so do you. In December, the middle of December. So you've got to be prepared for anything and everything. And the way you do that is spiritually before God. Okay. Spiritually before God. This has not been an easy road, and it doesn't mean it's going to be easy at the very beginning of this. Okay? So remember those things deep, deep down inside. because they're going to come back up, I can guarantee you. So as we end this sermon today, all this may feel a little like deja vu some 8 months later. This time we're entering the period that is yet ahead of us, I hope for everyone, in a better way. But I can't speak for everyone. But I see evidence of it in people's lives. I saw it last Sabbath. I saw it last Sunday with all the elders and the things that are being learned out there and the things we're going through and the things we're experiencing so that we can enter into and do a better job than what we could have done 8 months ago because God's been molding and fashioning us. I see an attitude and spirit that's different than what it was 8 months ago. Because I'll tell you what, brethren, 8 months ago was pretty sad for God's church. I hope you understand that. Because that's the lesson that God wants us to learn very deeply so. That took years and years and years from the end of Philadelphia all the way up through and past the first seal that was opened before we began to learn some of those great lessons of that which was hopefully reinforced in our minds with greater conviction this past year, starting back in April, when we had the kind of anxiety and fear that set into a lot of people's lives. I saw it in many people's lives and in many people's eyes. Sorry. And I have to admit, that was tough to go through myself. And I can't tell you the relief I had, because I truly believed with all my being that God was not going to give you an answer about the 50th truth until September the 30th. And he let me believe that. And I saw as a result of that, that if it waited that long, I realized what would have happened to God's church. And I hope you have the same conviction. We would have had a similar type of thing take place that happened to us when the first seal was opened. People would have scattered. I don't know how many would have been left behind. I don't know how many would have stayed. I don't know how many could have stayed. Because the reality is, we became very, very weak. We became extremely weak in God's church, and some still haven't rebounded from some of that. There are some who are still dealing with some of that, because, you know, when you get into a particular vein of thinking, when you get into a particular vein of weakness, look at the scattered church out there. Look at how much never recovered. Only by God's mercy, He intends for us to be able to recover. Everyone that's listening out here today that has been a part of this body, that's been baptized in this body, has the ability to recover. But some are still struggling. And it's a matter of whether God's being placed first. But overall, the vast majority have come through this very well, with greater understanding and greater conviction than before. And you've changed your life as a result, haven't you? There are things you've been changing in your life. Those of you who have been around for a long time especially, you know what I'm talking about. Because you know what it's like to fall asleep. If you fell asleep once, you know exactly what it's like to fall asleep again. You know exactly what it's like to let down and become lukewarm and become complacent. You know, say, how blessed we have been that God has shown us this again. Because you see, it's like I was telling the elders last Sabbath and last week. We have the ability to do a job. God gives us greater ability to do a job because of the job. We don't have it because we're better than anyone else. We don't have it because we're spiritually stronger than anyone else. We don't have it because we're better than anyone. It's simply that God has a job to do. And God's going to do it. And if we yield ourselves to that process, then we get to share in that. All of us get to share in what God is doing at this end time. But it's not because we're better than other people around us. Never. And as long as we have that kind of attitude of humility, God can work with us and does work with us. And so we have learned something very powerful, because you see, for every one of us at this end time, God's desire is for us, God's purpose is for us, that we succeed. You know, the only thing that makes us different from every other scattered group out here the only thing. God. God in us. It's because He's dwelling in us. Because He's given us mercy. Because He's forgiven us. Because He's brought us to be a part of a remnant. And only because we're a part of a remnant do we have the kind of minds, do we have the ability to see what we see. It's not because we were better than anyone else who went before us. There are hundreds of ministers out there far, far more talented than I am. Far better speakers than what I am. Far more academically able to deal with a lot of things on an academic level than what I am. God has given me everything that I've been able to give to the church. It's come from God. I've known for a long, long time and have tried to convey it to you. I can't write. I loathe it, or I did loathe it. You know, that started to change when I wrote the second book. And then as I saw things coming, it became more exciting. You know, I sat down thinking I had it figured out where the book was going, and it wasn't going that way. You know, first book, God laid it out for me. I knew where every chapter was. I knew where it was going. He let me see that. In the second book, I thought I knew where the chapters were going. I thought I knew what was going to be said in every chapter. You know, in a sense, when they started. All along the way. By the time I got to the end, I knew. Knew a little bit better. I didn't know until I started writing on that second book. And when I started writing, then God just gave it. It's not because I'm a writer. See, I know that I'm not. And because of that, I don't have to worry about the pride and the haughtiness of it that I might otherwise have to battle. Because that's been a destroyer for so many of God's ministry in the past. It's because it's so easy to take things to ourselves and we begin to lift up ourselves by our own abilities and our own talents. And that's a big mistake to make. We have to understand that everything that's good and everything that's true comes from God. And so I can't tell you the kind of blessing that has been to me to understand those things, and I can't fully convey them to you except to tell you about it. I sit down and I start to write, and all of a sudden it's just given to me. I don't know where I'm going with it. It's just there. It's like when I speak and prepare sermons. It's just there. I didn't think it up because I'm so good about thinking things up. You know? It's just there. And it's a marvelous experience. So I know. There's nothing to be lifted up about. And sometimes that's hard for us as human beings. And there are great lessons in those things that, just as like what we've gone through now in the last 8 months, God's given us opportunity to share. We're all a remnant because He has a purpose for us to succeed. He's going to bring a remnant through all this. And I look forward to the time the fifth trumpet blows. And God didn't show that till this year. I have so longed for. Seeing others come along. 2,500, 3,000 former members. People who were baptized before 1994. Because I know I'll know a few of them. I know that many of you will know some of them. Because they're going to be all over the place. Different countries, different places. But I marvel that God has shown it won't be until about the fifth trumpet that the majority of them come along. I wanted them to come along a long time ago if I had my way about it. But it wasn't God's purpose. So, and it wouldn't have been good for us to be that size. It wouldn't have been good for me if they'd come along a year ago or 2 years ago. And it wouldn't have been good for you if they'd come along at that point. Not only that, because of what we went through 8 months ago, too many of them could have made it because they wouldn't have been strong enough to come through it. So it's a marvel how God works with us. So if we can grasp, and I don't know how to explain this in any other way, if we can grasp fully what we've gone through in the last 8 months, it has been a very powerful, powerful opportunity and blessing and lesson that God has given to us. How dangerous, how horrible lukewarm spirits are. Complacency. Yeah. And beginning to drift and to fall asleep. And the very reason that so many of you who are new have been drawn along and brought along when you were, was to give you opportunity. Yes, God could have done it, though, later up the line. But you know why He did it as early as He did? And why we've had over 300% growth this year? It's for those of you who've been around for some time to see how God stirs people up, to see that first love,
to be reminded of that first love. But not just a first love. We have never experienced that first love to the degree we have now. Because we see how quickly God can give so much more quickly. So it's coupled with incredible vast knowledge that God gives soon, quickly, after a week or two. They're just flooded with knowledge by reading. The more they've read and the more the mind has been opened up, the more they see. Can't put it all together yet, but it's there. The experiences aren't there yet, but the truth is there. And that zeal and that excitement. I am dumbfounded sometimes. And you have to be careful that doesn't turn into pride. How many sermons sometimes people listen to throughout the week or on the Sabbath? You know, that first love. I've never experienced that in times past. I never experienced that to that degree in God's church in times past where people were doing that kind of thing. You know, going to work. Of course, we didn't have MP3s. But going to work and on the job, learning spiritual lessons, that the more longer you're listening to these things here, if you have that kind of a job where you can do that and you're listening to sermons throughout the day and it helps you to deal with this world, this sick world that's out there, and you come out at the end of the day rather than totally, you know, worn out and frustrated by the job you're in and by what you're seeing in the world and how people treat each other, you come out very positive, you know, because your eyes are focused on God's truth and you see things and you're growing through the day. You know, God gives more and more. We have never experienced that in God's church, but He let us experience it. Powerful, powerful lesson to be shaken, to realize how close we came again. And the only reason we didn't is because of God's mercy, because He has a remnant He's called, and He wants us to succeed. And so He's working with us. The difference is, with everything that went before, it was God's purpose to allow them to go, to show, to be a witness of what a lukewarm spirit does by the thousands who aren't going to be able to share until after 1,000 years is over. It was God's purpose to allow them to go. The only difference with us, it's not God's purpose to let the remnant go. It's God's purpose to bring us through it. And so what He's blessed us to learn is profound, and this is something spiritual that God has to give to us to understand how profound that is and how blessed we truly are. Hope we can take that with us today. And so again, some of this may seem like a little deja vu from 8 months ago. We know that we have 3 more weeks plus 1 day until the first trumpet of the seventh seal is blown. However, today, again, is far more unique than on the day of that first sermon, because today, I'm going to repeat some of the things from the beginning here. Today, we're not filled with the anxiety we were the first time. So I want to end the same way we began. We're not nearly as apprehensive as the first time around. We have matured and we have grown more spiritually so that we're able to address this in a much better way. It hasn't been easy. But what would you trade what you've gone through for? Nothing. Because you wouldn't have what you have now if you hadn't gone through this past 8 months. It wasn't designed to be easy. It wasn't given to be easy. It was given to help us to grow and mature very powerfully so. So we have matured more and grown more spiritually so that we are able to address this in a much better way. Now we're able to address this as a simple matter of reality, of faith. No matter what happens or when, remember those words. No matter what happens or when, it's just a matter now that we are far more confident. We have a peace knowing that God will give us what we need when we need it. Whatever happens, when it happens, so be it.